Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
God's not going to shelter you from every pressure in the world today. He does promise with temptation, He'll provide a way of escape.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we continue our study of the book of James, Pastor Herron returns to James chapter 1, and we'll study the second of the 12 marks of a difference maker. We'll see how we as Christians can have endurance in temptation.
If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1, if you would. James chapter 1. We're going to read together verses 13 through 18. We're over a series called Marks of a Difference Maker. We're really going through the general epistles this year, that section of the New Testament. We preached on Jude and then we're into James. The first message we preached out of James was in the verse 12 verses on the area of patience, patience in trials. This particular passage here is going to be dealing with the area of endurance in temptations. These are all marks of a difference maker out of the book of James. You can break up James in a whole lot of ways, but this is how we are doing it. And let's read together verse 13 to 18 of James chapter 1. We'll read out loud together. Ready? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And James deals with an incredibly important and relevant truth for us, enduring temptation. Are you under temptation? How do you deal with it? And James gives us three very practical facts that we need to consider today about enduring temptation. What point is it that that trial of yours is now a temptation? How does all that work together? I don't think we can answer all of those today, but I would like to help you understand that even in James chapter 1, when James, who was again the half-brother of Jesus, this was an issue that he was dealing with in that early church 2,000 years ago, and it hasn't changed for all these years. How do you handle a temptation? Every day you have to deal with temptations. What's the difference between a temptation and a trial? What point does that turn into a temptation? Evidently, it was an issue in the early church in which people began blaming things on God and that, you know, this is your fault. And you know people that have temptations coming their way and they're not doing very well at it. How do you conquer that? How do you end up getting victory in your temptations? Whatever area may be, whether that is dealing with money and being tempted to get more than what you need or deserve, and or maybe it's the area of morals and the temptations that are coming at you morally, and it's out there today. Fact is, a few weeks from now, we'll be preaching on that topic because James deals with that. On dealing with the merchants of cool, because our world wants to give to you what is cool, and they're going to define it as such. And so, in this as a backdrop, let's look at this passage, because I think James deals with the very idea that we are really scattered people. One wise person said one time that we are not God's sheltered people, we are God's scattered people. God's not going to shelter you from every pressure in the world today. He does promise with temptation, He'll provide a way of escape. But the reality is that you and I have to deal with this. And He ties it together with the topic of trials that we preached on. And this topic is so important. I think James, in this passage here in verse 13 to 18, takes the concept of temptation. If you want to write a statement down, a good one to help remind you is that God sends trials to bring out the best in us. God sends trials to bring the best out of us. He does try us. We do know that. He did with Abraham in Genesis 22. He will test us. But Satan sends temptations to bring out the worst in us. And evidently, the people here in this church were beginning to think that the trials they were going through, the patience, the mark of a disciple maker and a difference maker, that as they were going through these very difficult times, that they found themselves in a hard attitude towards God that James deals with in the area now of that trial that turned into a temptation. One writer quipped, "A Christian's baptism does not drown the flesh. You as a Christian may be saved and even baptized. That doesn't mean that, okay, now you have no more temptations and certainly no more trials. That becomes a part of your life. How do you deal with that?" And so this understanding, God does not want us to yield to temptation, neither yet is he going to spare us from the experience of temptation. And if we're to be mature, then we need to face testings and temptations. There are three glaring facts that I would call blinking red lights that are going to be used by James to help us understand that we can face and overcome temptation. Now, there are benefits. If you were to label the book of James, you could call it "Just Live It." James, who's a very practical writer, the brother of Jesus, said, "Listen, you live this. It doesn't help you just coming into the temple and having public worship or meeting from house to house and breaking bread, and that's wonderful. But the reality is, you need to live it." There were issues there. And these believers, they were struggling with trials. And some of them started moving from trials, and it became temptation for them. Maybe one way to say this very simply is a trial could be a financial problem you're having, but it become a temptation when you begin spending more. Or a trial of a wayward child, and you're burdened for this wayward child, but it becomes a temptation when you start blaming God and giving up. Or a trial of a poor marriage and poor relationships that become a temptation when you start blaming God for that person that you married and it was his fault. Now it moved from a trial to a temptation. Or maybe a trial at work with some irritable coworker that you're having to work with, but it becomes a temptation for you when you become getting angry at them rather than allowing God to work into their life. And so the move from a trial to temptation is very subtle, but it happens. And here in verse 13, you end up finding when the Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted that I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man." And what James begins, the first of three very glaring lights, is number one, understand that you've got to consider the fact of God's evaluation. And God, through the writer of James, helps us understand that, listen, God's going to evaluate. And he lays out his evaluation. This is what he ends up saying. And he starts with theology. This is what he says. Listen, God is not evil. He cannot be tempted with evil. He says, inherently, God cannot be enticed by lust or sin or anything evil and wrong. God can't even be tempted that way. His holy nature, his inward nature, has no capacity for evil or vulnerable to it. Therefore, he's saying, because that's who God is, God's not going to end up tempting you. God doesn't do that. And that's such a powerful understanding that God wants you to be able to evaluate that temptation, not on the basis of who he is, because he's not going to tempt you, because he has no capacity to do that. So if you are tempted, James says, listen, here's the source of it. It's sourced in yourself. So as I mentioned, for example, if you have a trial financially, you're having problems and difficulties, that becomes a trial to you, but Satan wants to take that and your own nature and begin using that now as a temptation to end up getting worrying and fretful. Or if you have a problem with, let's say, your children and you're a young mother and you want them to live right and do right and you're so struggling with them and they become a trial to you, they're a joy, but you just so want them to do right. But it become a temptation when rather than giving that over to God, "God, this is a trial for me and for them, but you're going to use it to build their life." And then rather than giving that to God, you begin tempted. to being worrying and giving over controlling. Or if you have some relationship that's not right, and let's say it's even in a marriage relationship and there's a struggle there, that's a trial to you, that God's using that person like sandpaper on your life and you on them to smooth out the rough areas of your life to both be conformed to Christ, that's a trial. But for you, it can become a temptation when now you're not responding with a right heart attitude. You're responding and reacting and getting angry and upset and so bothered. That's a temptation. And now it's caused you. Now, did God create all that? No, your own heart created that. And that's why it's important to know. Look what James says right here. He identifies very simply, a temptation is an opportunity to accomplish a good thing in a bad way and out of, therefore, the will of God. The temptation to cheat, for example, is an opportunity to accomplish a good thing. Well, I want to pass the exam. But now you're tempted. I'm going to cheat on this in order to get this. God says, that temptation, I will make a way of escape. Now, I explain this because I think it's incredibly important that we slowly start having a tendency to blame all this on God. And he says it, notice in verse 13, God cannot be tempted of any man. He doesn't tempt any man. Verse 14, and here's the facts. He very simply states, I want to give to you the stages that happens when a person goes into sin. He says in verse 14, let every man, when he's tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when his lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin is finished. It brings forth death. What's he talking about? He's talking about the temptation to blame everything on God and say, this is God, you put this in my way. And this is why I'm struggling, having problems, because it's really not my fault. It's God's fault. And he walks through the stages of it all. And it's a careful distinction between those trials and those temptations. It is we who turn occasions of testing then into temptation. And I lay this out because when I look at this, listen, I think of, for example, the very first humans, Adam and Eve. What did they do in Genesis 3? God said, listen, I'm going to give you everything that you want in this garden. I've given you tens of thousands of trees and fruits and produce. You've got it all. I just have one tree over here, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I don't want you to take. And you know the story. The reality is that people would say, well, see, God just tempted Adam and Eve with that. I think we have a tendency to look at this wrongly, because the reality is God's saying, listen, here's a multiple yes. There's a solitary no. And it only revealed the heart that God, in a paradise, that God still gave the one item that's most godlike to every human, called the will. Because without the will, he would create a robot. And he doesn't want a robot. And so he takes the risk. I'm creating you as a human with a will. You have a free will to choose. And on that choice, you will see, just as this stages that happened, so it did with Eve in Genesis 3. She saw. She desired it. And she took it.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.